On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, I'm hoping after listening to Ernie C. DeBaca, the president and CEO of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce, that a lot of you are in your cars driving down to Civic Plaza because the city council is going to be considering a proposal called the sick leave bill. And they've also got, you know, other things that they're considering that a lot of people believe will be difficult for small businesses to handle. So want to encourage you as you're listening this afternoon. We have a very interesting second guest, Dr. Brian Nixon. Brian, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Jim, as normal.
Hey, I got to give everybody a little bit of background. You were on the program here a week ago, 10 days ago, talking about your new book, mm-hmm. Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But one of the things that we talked about kind of in the hallway here at on the campus of Calvary was that we started talking about street art.
Right.
And I used the word graffiti.
Sure.
And you corrected me and said, no, it's street art.
Yeah.
And that alone speaks volumes about how you see things differently than I have talked about. So the conversation went to mural art. And then
yep.
you showed me a website that's part of the city of Albuquerque's
right.
website about all the beautiful murals that are all over the city of Albuquerque. So I want to start this interview. I think it'll be interesting for people, especially people that want to do something in culture
right.
that doesn't cost them anything to do.
Nothing, right.
Yeah.
Well, some gas or
yeah.
some you know, calories walking around the city.
Well, yeah, and have a lunch and walk around and look
yeah.
at all this cool stuff that we have. So, Brian, your book, Tilt, just recently released. I got it on Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
I know we are waiting to see it here at Parchments on the campus of
yep,
Calvary,
they've
Albuquerque.
Ordered it. I confirmed with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about your book, Tilt, and why you put it together.
Well, Tilt is really just a comprehensive look at culture that I've experienced. I mean, everything from Robert Redford to Tom Waits to George O'Keefe, you know, to musicians, to poets and everything else. And when I go to a cultural event, Jim, I put on my Christian lenses. And what I mean by that is I'm always trying to find something, you know, that has a semblance or connection to Christianity. So this book really discusses that. I mean, it discusses those little tidbits I found in these various endeavors. And again, it is a journalistic book, meaning I go to the events or I interview people and such as a journalist would. But then I usually bring in or weave in a Christian story of something I found. And as I've pointed out to you before, Jim, it doesn't mean all the people I interview or discuss in this book are Christian, meaning they prescribe to a statements of faith or something. But within their work, I have found various Christian themes. So, be it Robert Redford or, you know, Sam Shepard or anyone else, I find something that's pretty interesting to me.
Okay. And I don't know how to say this in a politically correct way, so I'm just going to say it. Brian, a lot of the stuff that you look at, Christians that I know are going to freak out about, like,
yeah. Andy Warhol.
Yeah. That's not, you know, that
sure.
guy's this or that.
Right.
And what I appreciate about you is that many of the stories you've covered and you talk about in your book, they're not Christian events. They're just events.
Right.
And you go as a Christian and you are loving on people, appreciating their work, maybe not agree with their personal positions
sure. Sure.
or even their statements that they make about whatever the purpose of the event is. Tell us about your perspective in looking at art, reading things that are produced by non-Christian writers,
mm-hmm.
And in other words, finding and appreciating people that don't have the same faith position you have.
Yeah. Well, it goes back, and I write this in the introduction, it goes back to the concept of common grace. You know, God has given common grace to all people, Christian and non-Christian. We all breathe the same air. We all look at the same trees and can view the same art. So common grace is kind of the backdrop to Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture. But more specifically, I think even in non-Christian works, we could find the fingerprints of what I say in the book of Christian worldview, because our Western culture is very embedded, infused with the Christian worldview. So whether or not people know that they're influenced by a Christian worldview, they are. And so they may create a play such as Sam Shepard that has Christian themes, and he may not have thought of that. Or George O'Keefe in some of her paintings, you know, representing Christian themes. And so what I do, I kind of like an investigative reporter or investigator, I find those little tidbits, those little snippets of Christian thought that they may or may not know are there. And then I explore them a little bit more. But you're right, Jim. There are some Christians that, you know, they may know someone like Andy Warhol, and he didn't always live, you know, a becoming life necessarily. At least some would think that. And you know, they may go, well, why would you highlight him? Well, it's because the latter part of his life, he dedicated the last part of his life to doing images of Christ and the Last Supper. And so I found that really interesting. So I drove down to Marfa, Texas to see one of the paintings that he did. And the list goes on and on. You know, Robert Redford, not that I'm aware of that he's a Christian or ever professed anything, but at the same time, you know, he is very profoundly influenced by nature. And nature, creation, is a gift from God. Again, it goes all the way back to common grace.
But you hear people like Robert Redford talk about nature, talk about taking care of our world, mm-hmm. taking care of the earth. And a lot of people have a perspective that, you know, we can do whatever we want with it. But you see it differently.
I sure do, yeah.
Because you see it as precious. You see it as beautiful. You see it as something worth preserving.
That's right.
And I appreciate that perspective.
Yeah, it's a gift from God. I mean, let's put it in human perspectives. Jim, let's say for, you know, your children's, let's say Christmas, you know, save up all your money, you work hard, and you buy them something that is meaningful to you and you're hoping meaningful to them. And then you give it to your children. And then your children just destroy it, throw it against the wall, break it up, and then spit on it, and then walk away. You as a father would go, God, that's not really pleasing. That's not the intended result that I was hoping for with that gift. And I see that the same with creation. God has given us the most beautiful, you know, gift imaginable. Not only our own creative life, but creation of birds and animals and trees and you name it. And when we destroy it, we're basically, you know, sticking our tongue out at our Heavenly Father saying, this wasn't good enough. I needed something more. So I think we are called to steward creation. That's the term the Bible uses. And part of that stewardship is to be good stewards of creation and to thank God for what He has given us. So in that Robert Redford article, I use Robert Redford and N. Scott Momaday, a Native American author, to springboard to talk about, you know, a little bit of a Christian understanding of creation.
So there wouldn't be such a big fight among what I have heard unaffectionately called tree huggers.
Yeah.
And people that don't consider themselves to be environmentally sensitive. You've come to a point where both sides can appreciate it and come to some common ground to take care of it.
And work for the same cause. You know, and there's a long lineage of evangelicals that have written on behalf of, you know, creation. Francis Schaeffer being one of the main ones. And I reference and actually use him as a springboard in that very same article on Robert Redford. I talk about Francis Schaeffer, and in his book, he references and really challenges Christians as an evangelical. I mean, as one of the stalwart evangelicals of yesteryear to say, Christians, we need to be leading in some of these areas, because we are the ones that saying this is a gift from God. We should not destroy it. And sadly, some Christians see it otherwise and they destroy it.
You know, I know there's some open space areas in Albuquerque in particular,
right,
where there are just a lot of people.
Right.
And so social distancing in some cases. In fact, I'm riding my bike down the
Bosque Trail.
Bosque Trail, mm-hmm. from Alameda.
Yep.
And another biker's coming down the other way. We're the only two people within 300 yards. And literally, I get right even with him, and he sneezes. And I'm just thinking,
wow,
only that could happen to me.
Only that.
But it makes you nervous.
Yeah.
So I thought about some other things. I mean, just going bike riding and working out, going hiking in the mountains, obviously going to have a lot of social distancing. But you go up to some of the trailheads, you know, up by – you know, the foothills of the mountains, and a lot of them are occupied. But here's an idea that I thought was very interesting that I talked about earlier. I've been looking at culture, Brian, since I started reading your book, and you introduced me to mural art mm-hmm. and street art. Now, that's not really mentioned in your book,
right?
But we talked about it, and you immediately said, look, I know an artist named Mark Horst, and yep. he put together a picture of a little girl, and she's reaching out to touch a chicken. It's on the building located at 3010 Monta Vista Boulevard Northeast.
Yep.
Really an amazing deal. So what I did is I went to the website. It's called MUROSABQ, murosabq.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the city of Albuquerque's website, or there's at least a link to it.
Right.
And I went and I looked at Noe Barnett's 201 Cole Avenue Southwest. It's a picture of the United Soccer team.
That's right.
What a neat thing.
United, yeah.
And then just coincidentally, when I was watching the news this morning before I came into the office, he's painting a Black Lives Matter mural right
yeah.
now, and they were showing the detail of that. From far away, it just looks like a fist, but when you get close to it, he's got, you know, portraits
yeah.
of various individuals that are important to the Black Lives Matter movement and black history.
Yeah.
And it's really detailed, just amazing.
Yeah. And Jim, I'm so glad, you know, you brought this up to me about a couple of weeks ago about mural art. And, you know, there's a long lineage, a long history of mural art or street art or graffiti art. You know, interestingly enough, what Christians may not know, Christians, some of the earliest artwork that we have of Christians was what was deemed graffiti art. Basically, Christians going and drawing something on the wall. A lot of them were in catacombs, but then, of course, it graduated to more mural and church art and so on and so forth. But, you know, mural art, what I love about street art is it is art for everyone. You don't have to pay money to get in. You don't have to necessarily just even understand it. You could just drive by or walk by and appreciate it. And we happen to live in a city that has great mural art. As a matter of fact, when I first moved here 12 years ago from Southern California, one of the first things I did was like, okay, what kind of mural art? What kind of street art is there? And I would go and I'd walk around and look at it and learn about different artists and why they painted it. And I met a few. And since that time, it's increased exponentially. You know, not only do we have now a website dedicated to the street art, to the mural art, but there's festivals. The last, of course, not this year because of COVID, but the last 2 or 3 years, there's been mural festivals where people from around the world come to Albuquerque and paint murals here. And the city allows it. The only thing that people have to do is say, hey, my building's available. Give me a sort of understanding of what you're going to paint on it. And they do it. So there is always new mural art popping up all the time. So it's not static. It's organic and it's always going. So, you know, you mentioned Mark Horst. Mark Horst was a fella I met early on when we moved here. Like I went to mural art, I would go to galleries and I would see who the local artist, and Mark Horst was one I met. Sadly, he's been fighting some health issues recently, but when I met him there, I learned he was a former pastor, and I just appreciated his art. I bought one of his paintings, actually, of a New Mexico church, and a little bit later, he's now doing mural art around the city. I think he has this one and then a couple of other ones, but there's gentlemen like this that have done amazing work in Albuquerque.
Well, if you want to spend an interesting afternoon with your family,
that's right.
Go grab a lunch to go at a local restaurant.
Right.
Take this website and write down maybe 10 addresses.
Mm-hmm.
Drive to these and just enjoy your lunch while you take a look at these murals, because they're spectacular. Now, I've got to follow up my question with what, again, is not going to be a politically correct sounding question. But I have to ask, how do you go beyond your own personal taste and to see Christ in art? And my own personal taste, and again, I'm indicting myself,
mm-hmm.
is I look at some of the stuff and I go, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, at the back of the book, I give you an acronym, TILT. You know, TILT is not only a physiological, you know, description of tilting your head and that, you know, it's like, I wonder what that's about. But at the end of the book, I use TILT as an acronym, and we discussed that the last program, so I won't go into that more. But I think part of what we need to do, Jim, is when we look at something we're unaware, we have to try to understand it. You know, really just learning about it, sitting, okay, who was the artist? What part or what are they trying to say? You know, what's going on here? Let me give you an example. And I only touch on this fella a couple of times. But, you know, modern art, you know, contemporary art, abstract art, whatever, it really has some beginnings in Christian worldview, believe it or not. A gentleman by the name of Kazimir Malevich, who is a Russian, and Kandinsky, both of them had Christian beginnings. They were part of the Orthodox Church. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to get beyond just the normal way we see art, just the physical, like, you know, perspective and such. And they wanted to get to the essence, which is what kind of Christian icons do. They try to get you to the essence or the heart or act as a window of heaven. So Kazimir Malevich, in order to do that, he painted just a black square on a canvas. And then he hung it up in the corner of his house. And the corner of the house in Russian households is where you put icons. And what he was saying is that this is a modern icon of sorts, a modern way for us to appreciate or get closer to God if we just begin to contemplate it and think about it. And whether or not we agree with his perspective or not, the point is both he and Kandinsky, two of the architects of abstract art there in Russia, were both based in the Christian worldview. And that just began to play out. So when we see something we don't necessarily appreciate or like, I think it's good to learn about the person and learn about some of the reasons why they did what they did.
Yeah, and that investigation is really a neat thing to do with your children.
That's right.
And it'll give them some ideas and maybe even stimulate some great art. Brian Nixon is with us. Brian is an assistant pastor and director of publishing and education for Calvary Church, but he's a dad, he's a musician, he's a writer, he's an artist. He just does everything. So that's why we love to have him on the show all the time. We'll be right back with Brian Nixon. Stay with us.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8555.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
EJ and I, we had two properties, and the mortgages were killing us, so we were looking for a realtor that was a believer.
Had great references and had a great selling history.
Our pastor referred us to Dom Garcia. We prayed to God that we would not only sell the property, but sell it quickly.
And in 2 weeks, the house was sold. Dom gave us great ideas on how to prepare the properties for selling.
When we signed the listing agreement, we prayed over it with Dom.
Selling experience was just marvelous.
Dom stepped in and got it done.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at PowerFord. With the events surrounding COVID-19, I'm reminded of the power of commitment made by our first responders. The sacrifice they make is both humbling and inspiring. And to say thank you, PowerFord is offering a $1,000 discount to first responders and medical professionals. Plus, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon in studio with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect, and we're not making TILT the focus, but TILT has kind of stimulated my going out and looking for Christ in culture, Brian.
Well, so then I've done my job.
You've
Jim.
Done your job.
I've done my job.
And that's just a guy that has looked at your book on Kindle. Yeah. Can't wait till the hard copy comes out because I'm going to be running around with that book in my car. And every time I run across something I have a question about, I'm going to ask you about it.
Please.
I'm consistently wanting to have people take off the blinders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that we're not supposed to expose ourselves to things. In fact, tomorrow, for example, I have Jesse Lusko on the program, and we're going to be talking about pornography.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are people that would say that's art, but I'm not going to recommend that anybody involve themselves with anything like
right.
that because it's not intended for that purpose and can be very addictive
and hurtful. Right.
That's mm-hmm. right. So, but at the same time, I want to ask you about how do you dare look at writings of a person like atheist Daniel Dennett, and why is that important?
Yeah, it's good question. Interestingly enough, we Christians, we need to be aware of what other people are saying, particularly in their arguments against God and specifically Christianity. So Daniel Dennett was here in town as part of an atheist program up in Santa Fe, and it was a wonderful program. It was actually originally a play called Caught in the Pulpit, and what they had did in this play, that Daniel didn't write this, but he was invited to comment on it, is they got from interviews of different clergy people who were struggling in their faith, and they made it into this play. So that was the backdrop. Caught in the Pulpit was the backdrop of what happens when clergymen and women lose their faith. And then Daniel Dennett, he's one of the four, what they call the four horsemen of new atheism. So you have Richard Dawkins, Daniel Dennett, and others who are, these are the outspoken atheists. Well, he was in Santa Fe, and he was basically talking about why, you know, he didn't believe in God, maybe just a little bit, but really he was just talking more or less about his new book. Well, I bought his new book, and I met him. I took pictures with him and everything else. But what I did is I brought up a contingency of Christians. I brought up Dr. Steve Collins. I brought up apologist Grant Brissett. And I brought up a clergyman, an Anglican clergyman, Jonah Kelman. He's now at a church in Silver City, an Anglican church down in southern New Mexico. But I brought these guys, and like a journalist, I said, okay, you guys just listen to this program, and then I'm going to interview you, and you're going to tell me what you liked and what you disliked about it. And that's what that article is about in the book. Now, it is a little dense. The latter part of Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture is dense, meaning you have to put on your thinking cap and really work through some of these concepts. But generally speaking, Steve Collins addresses it from a scientific standpoint. Grant Brissett addresses Daniel Dennett from an apologist, someone, you know, where he found the weaknesses of the evening. And then Jonah Kelman addressed it as a pastor. And it was just really kind of cool how it all came together. And I think they gave appropriate responses to some of the issues that they were trying to bring up.
I really like that you have a conversation about all this, Brian.
Right.
I mean, it's a way to engage and it strengthens what you believe. And it allows them to see kindness and love coming from somebody that doesn't agree with their position.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I sent the original article. I haven't sent the book, but I sent it to the lady who wrote the original play, Caught in the Pulpit. And she was very thankful. She goes, you know what? You know, in an offbeat way, you know, I wish there were more Christians that were doing what you were doing rather than just trying to beat us over the head and say bad things. You were accommodating for what you liked about it, and then you challenged us on others. And she said, that's what I was hoping for in this. And so I said, well, you did your job well then.
You mentioned Dr. Stephen Collins. Of course, we have him on the show frequently when he's here
mm-hmm.
and not out at Tal al-Hammam, the ancient city of Sodom in the Jordan
right.
Valley.
Right.
Of course, that is a discovery that is just an amazing thing. He's bringing home all kinds of artifacts. I know you're familiar with his museum
That's
over
right.
at the Trinity University. How is your faith uncovered or encouraged as by the things he's uncovered? He's brought up beautiful artifacts and
mm-hmm.
beautiful art from the ancient city of
mm-hmm.
Sodom that
mm-hmm.
was destroyed by fire. It's
yeah.
just amazing.
Yeah. I think three areas I'm encouraged. Number one, as you point out, just the artistic nature of what he's finding, you know, pots and vessels and just beautiful artifacts. And just from a purely aesthetic, wow, these are old, beautiful objects. And so artistically, number two, biblically, you know, every time Steve goes out there, he's uncovering a piece of biblical history. So I think that is just important in that when particularly Christian archaeologists, they are giving the rationale. They are defending the biblical record. They're showing, you know, the historical viability of what the Bible has to say. But then third, I would say just generally speaking, from a historical standpoint, I think it's important. Archaeology, and this is just my opinion, Jim, but archaeology is one of the unsung heroes of the Christian faith. And I believe if people were to give more to archaeological digs and institutions that have, you know, accredited archaeology programs like Veritas, where Steve works, we would be doing a lot better. Why? Because the archaeologists, biblical archaeologists, are going out there and uncovering. And what it's doing is it's supporting, it's giving a scientific basis and a historical basis for the reliability of the Bible. And so I think it's, you know, the artifacts he's bringing back are important aesthetically for works of art, biblically and historically. We need more biblical archaeologists. And so that's why I'm a huge fan of the Veritas International University's biblical archaeology program. Sadly, Jim, a couple of other evangelical institutions have closed their doors for the archaeology. And so for such a time as this, we need to pray for and invest in and really encourage these biblical archaeologists who were out there basically saying, yeah, the Bible is a historical book, but I've got the proof now to support its claims. And that goes a long way in our world today.
You know, it's fascinating to me that the country of Jordan mm-hmm. has completely supported Steve Collins' work there.
Right.
When in fact, the baseline philosophy of their government doesn't have anything to do with Christianity.
No. Well, I think they realize and understand the importance of this find. And, you know, and from a tourist standpoint, as it goes and they could verify it on multiple levels, then they could advertise, hey, we're the site of the original Sodom and Gomorrah here. Come here, not anywhere else.
Doesn't it seem, though, Brian, at a certain point where they go, wow, these Christians have been talking about this place. They've uncovered all of this history. Steve Collins has made the statement on this program that the Bible is primarily a book of history.
That's exactly
and
right.
And he spent his life verifying that history is true.
That's right. Yeah, and interestingly enough, Steve is actually speaking this weekend at Calvary Albuquerque. We encourage everyone in, you know, listening to the broadcast to come on out and hear Steve. He'll be talking about bibliology, the importance of the Bible and supporting it. Of course, that's what he's doing with his archaeological research. But yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, we as Christians need to be aware of this, but we need to be appreciative of other cultures such as Muslim Jordan that is also rallying around this and saying, hey, this is important stuff. And that's something we could rejoice, even though we may not agree with, you know, the politics or the religion of Jordan. We could at least be appreciative and thankful that they are supporting Steve's work there and the work of Veritas International University. I think it's splendid what they're doing. And of course, Steve has a couple of books. They recently put out the Harvest House Bible Handbook, where they have a lot of their findings in it, and there's a lot of history. Dr. Joseph Holden was part of that book as well. So there's some great resources coming out of their work.
And that book is available in parchments, also available on Amazon and so forth. Brian Nixon's book, Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture, has kind of been really the stimulus for this interview. But again, you can order that on Kindle. You can order it on Amazon, soon to be available in paperback.
Yep. And they promised me it's still going to be 50% that you announced last time. So when they get it in, they don't know why it's taking so long, but it will be there. And then when you call them up, they will have Tilt Finding Christ in Culture at 50% off. So that's a great deal.
COVID-19 has knocked us all off of our rhythm.
Right.
A lot of us are trying to get it back by just getting out and trying to spend time at home doing things with our children where we're learning and
right.
we're seeing things. And Brian, I think this has really stimulated me and my relationship with my family members to talk about things
yep.
and to observe them differently. Frankly, I think I've had a bias and I've been not really appreciating street art for what it could be. And now that I've literally taken a look at three murals.
Yeah.
And it took me about an hour.
Right.
And because I was standing and looking at it for so long.
You're studying it. You're wanting to understand it.
And it's fascinating to look at the murals 100 feet back and then to go look at them really closely.
Jim, you are the poster boy of why I wrote this book. So I just thank you. That's exactly the reason why I wrote Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture.
Hey, thanks, Brian, for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
My pleasure.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.